Well, I haven't been up here in a little while, and it feels good. In fact, it feels so good, I'm going to do something I haven't done in a very long time. And I was reminded, as I opened up my prayer book this morning, it's my prayer book. It's littler than most. The writing is littler than most. But for some reason, I can see this really well. Even than a bigger one. And this was presented to me, let me see, in 2003 by the Church of Messiah Choir. They gave it to Pastor Scott at the time. I was not ordained. They gave it to Pastor Scott. And the reason why they gave me this prayer book is because It became my normal that every time we had choir rehearsal or choir practice or before a major service, I would get to give random thoughts to the choir. And they became affectionately known as Random Thoughts by Pastor Scott. And then I got ordained. Susie was there. Cindy was there. Carrie was there. I'm not telling stories. I'm not telling any stories today. Well, I am going to tell some stories, but I'm not going to embellish my stories, kind of, sort of. But then I became ordained a deacon, and then the next year a priest. Father Looker and I officially have been ordained now for 13 years. I cannot believe it. We were ordained in the same service at the same time. However, he is Father Scott the Elder, because Looker comes before Melanson, and it's alphabetical order at that point in time. So he is Father Scott the Elder, and I still continue to be Father Scott the Wiser. But anyway. And I got all the gray hair to prove it. I have two random thoughts that I'd like to give you today. And here's true confessions. They don't have anything to do with the readings you just heard, but they have to do with what's on my heart. And that's what I want to share with you today. And I'm looking at the time now, because when I go random, sometimes I go rogue. And when I go rogue, sometimes I go long. So, but look, it's raining out today. You don't really have anywhere to go. But, thank you. A lot of us were here last Sunday, and we got to observe a service of baptism as we welcomed two new baptized members into the household of God. What a wonderful service. And if you weren't here last Sunday, but you've been a part of this congregation for a while, you didn't have to be here last Sunday to know what happened. We took two babies. Father Looker took two babies whose parents and grandparents came before us, said, "We are going to raise these children in the household of faith, and we want them baptized into the family of God." What a beautiful service it is. But I got to tell you something. We see the front end of that so many times over the course of our life as a church, especially in a sacramental church. We see the covenant, and notice I say that word, the covenant of baptism displayed before our eyes sometimes 2-3 times a year. And at least 4 times a year, whether we have baptisms or not, we renew our baptismal covenant. And what that means to me, as a good old Pentecostal boy to begin with, and then a Baptist for 2.5 years, and then all kinds of other stuff until God finally landed me here, what it means to me is it takes care of being in a service where I get to renew my baptismal covenant with my mouth, my lips, my words, It takes away that little edge about that I had early on in my Christian walk about how can a baby be saved. It goes against it. You got to confess with your mouth, believe in your heart. It goes against that. But yet none of us sitting in these services cannot deny the presence of God in those services. And something holy is going on. It's a holy mystery. It's kind of like every time we come to this table. It's a holy mystery does not make it any less real of what we're participating in. And Father Looker spoke about that last Sunday. Signs, symbols, sacraments. It is a tremendous thing that we have in this expression of God's one holy Catholic apostolic church that some people don't ever get. They never get. You see, because a covenant with God, a sacrament with God, has one guarantor in the whole thing, and that's Him. It's what He's covenanting with us, not what we're saying or what we're doing. It's what He is guaranteeing us that He is going to do. Listen to these words out of the prayer book. I want to remind us of them. I'm not going to read all the liturgy. I'm going to read the two things that happened back here with the water and the oil. The priest says, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism, and marked as Christ's own forever. What? Do we really believe that? Amen. Forever? Yeah. That child is marked as Christ's own forever? I know I do now. I know there was a time in my walk I didn't. Many of you know, and we certainly thank you for your prayers, your calls, your support during the time that Cindy and I just went through in the passing of her brother Frankie. I had the honor, scary honor nonetheless, of preaching his funeral. And some of you were there. You know that was difficult on me. It showed. It was hard. But inside of me was this knower. The knower was Frankie was baptized as a child. Not only was Frankie baptized as a child, and I'm be very open and honest with you, my home, my church family, he found cause in his life to be baptized two more times as an adult and make a profession of faith. Now, did he need to do that? No. He was not in an expression that had the ability to mature him or teach him that was not necessary once and done. You don't need it again. When you are sealed and marked as Christ's own forever, that's a long time. I was able to stand and speak to those people who were attending his service with full confidence of knowing not that I had faith in Frankie and how he lived his life. Not that I had faith in what I saw with my natural eye through the years. But I was able to stand before them with a full faith and assurances of God's covenant with him. Can I understand it all? No. It's a holy mystery. And I was confronted with this once before, 9 years ago, when I had to preach the funeral of my oldest brother, who died in questionable circumstances, living a questionable life. And yet God spoke to me and reminded me, and I had the pictures to prove it, of my brother being baptized as an infant, knowing those words were spoken over him. I was able to give my family hope that we would have an opportunity to see Paul again. I was able to give Cindy's family hope because it had nothing to do with Frankie. It had everything to do with the God that we serve and his incredible love, mercy, grace, and faithfulness. I don't know about you, but that gets me so excited. It's not about me. It's all about him. Because if it was about me, just kick me on out now because I'm done. And I know a lot of you, we're just going to leave that hanging out there. What a wonderful belief that we carry in our expression of this church and of the church at large. What a wonderful word of hope of the gospel, the good news of Christ that we carry within ourselves to share with others who might not have that. Now, the Baptist in me and the Pentecostal in me did have a slight conflict, even as I was mulling this over, and that conflict was, well, Scott, I heard a little voice say, well, Scott, that sounds like once saved, always saved. Well, it might sound like it, but it's not it. And I'm going to tell you why. Once saved, always saved, as the doctrine says, once you commit your life to Christ, no matter what you do, you can never veer from it. Once saved, always saved has to do with what I'm doing. I'm accepting Christ as my Savior. I'm believing Him. I'm committing to Him. Something I've done in my life. I think all of you have. But that in among itself does not guarantee my place with Christ. But God's word and God's covenant with me guarantees that I am marked as Christ's own forever. There is a difference. Because the first one depends on me. The second one depends on the only one we can really trust. It depends on God. I know this might be a thought that's kind of hard to digest. Let me close this section of random thoughts with this word from Paul in Romans. Knowing all things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death... Now listen with what I just said to you. Listen to these words. I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, not what's happening now or what's going to happen tomorrow, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Wow. I heard that with fresh ears. Let's personalize it just for a minute. Neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation, including Scott Melanson himself. I'm in all creation. Are you? I am convinced that there is nothing in all creation that will separate me or separate you from the love of God in Christ. Wow. What a powerful, powerful testimony to carry within ourselves. What a light of hope we have to share with other people. When we are convinced of this truth, and you know what? When you're convinced of this truth, your life will begin to line up with that truth. Your actions will reflect that truth. It's powerful. Random thought number two. In this experience that Cindy and I walked through, we had an opportunity. For those who don't know, Cindy's brother Frankie was a well-known local artist in bands in St. Augustine, Florida. He had been in bands for over 25 years, went by the nickname Frankie D. And if Frankie D was there, there was a party. Because Frankie was, he was a good singer and a front man for bands, but he was an outstanding front man for a band. He knew how to work a crowd up. I mean, he could work a crowd up. He'd do all that crazy stuff. He'd swing off of things and jump off of amplifiers and, you know, crowd surf. He was a crowd pleaser when it came to his showmanship. And in through the years, we heard it time and time again. Cindy and I heard it time and time again. Frankie never met a stranger. You were always his friend. And my experience with Frankie over 41 years is that's a true statement. There is no telling who he was going to show up with or where he was. But there were two guarantees with Frankie. One, there was going to be a party, and it's always going to be a good time. Well, when Cindy and I came out of St. Augustine and we began to try to make changes in our life and in our lifestyle, one of the things that God took me out of was the St. Augustine music scene and rock and roll bands. It's one of the things I did growing up, amongst other things growing up, which will remain nameless. But I need to. Huh?
Thank God they didn't have Facebook.
Amen. And, you know, so I had to discipline myself to remove myself from situations and environments that were very easily attracted to me to make this change in my lifestyle. The only way I could do it, because I couldn't trust myself, is I had to eliminate certain places and things and people from my life. It was the only way I knew how to do it. You got to remember, I was 20 years old, 21 years old, when I made a firm commitment to follow Christ. I did it to some success. I did it with some success. And for 15 years in my life, I made some radical adjustments that no longer exist today. But for 15 years, there were radical adjustments, all because of the background and behavior that I came out of. Okay? Now, we get a phone call 2 weeks ago Sunday, after it had been known that Frankie had passed away. And a group of his bands that he used to play with were getting together at a place in St. Augustine and doing a put-together tribute to Frankie. And one of Cindy's cousins called and told her about it and said, "We'd really like you to come, Cindy." Now, Cindy was a basket case because we had just got the news on Friday. Frankie passed away on Saturday. This was now Sunday. While I was at church, and my wife, God bless her, was not. She was trying to handle things at home. I get home wanting to check on my wife, and she tells me all about this that happened and said, I want to go. I looked there, Cindy, what? Pelican Pub in St. Augustine? Not one of the places that were there when we were growing up, but all I needed to do was hear the name and the location. I knew what we were getting into. And Cindy was persistent. Scott, I need to go. And I was persistent. Honey, we don't need to go there. That's not us. Cindy said we needed to go, so we went. Ed and Darla came with us as support. Darla made a little snide remark as we were driving over the 312 bridge. Oh, I don't know what you're so nervous about, Scott. You're not even going to get in the door and people are going to know who you are. And I, you know, a little Darla remark to me. And we got out of the car and here comes a guy. Scott Melanson? What are you doing here? It's a guy I used to play in a band with in high school. And two more before we ever walk through the door. Can I be honest with y'all? I was really out of my, I was uncomfortable. Because now I'm being, at first, I'm just being confronted with, And then I start getting confronted with, thank you, Lord, that this is no longer me. And that was nice. But there was something else that happened in that Pelican Pub that we as the church need to know. Let me set the scene just real quick. They don't serve food except for chips. Therefore, that means in Florida law, you can smoke in there. And yes, they do. All the time. And the beer was flowing freely and had flowed freely for many days in this place. And it was just one of those places. Look at. Remember I said there was something I didn't do for 15 years and I made radical changes. Those things are not what I do anymore. And I have been known to go to a bar or a restaurant that has a bar nowadays. And I'm fine with that. I don't have any problem with that. It wasn't this about that. It was the kind of place it was that I don't even go to today. It was just that kind of place. This is what y'all need to hear from this random thought. The presence of God in our lives is not confined by this place. The presence of God in our lives is not confined to this music. It enhances it. It brings us in touch with Him. But there was 40, 50 people there, Ed, you think?
Oh, more than that.
Okay, more than that. But I couldn't tell you how many people were there because we were going to be, the last thing I said to Cindy before we got out of the car was, okay, no more than 30 minutes, see your cousins, and we got to get out of here. Because I was feeling uncomfortable, y'all. You got to know, I was feeling uncomfortable. I didn't want to put Cindy in her emotional state in that environment. We didn't leave for almost 2.5 hours. Because we were there for about 15 minutes. Kind of got our legs under us. got through the, oh my God, it really is what I thought it was. Wow. Music playing loud, Skinnered, you know. Now, I did enjoy the music, I got to tell you. The smells and the visuals I could have done away with, but I really, really enjoyed the music. These guys can play. Little bar bands, there's some that are incredible, and these guys were incredible. But all of a sudden, one at a time, people begin to walk up to Cindy, introduce themselves, because the music is so loud, "Hi, my name is," and would console her and hug her. Some of them just fell apart in her arms crying. And I recognized what was going on. But I could not reconcile it in my mind. My wife is experiencing the presence of God and the healing of God in her pain and suffering at this time through a group of people that I thought were as far from him as they could get. It wasn't the case. That happened for the next hour and a half. One at a time. One at a time. I had people come up to me at the viewing and at the funeral. "Thank you so much for coming Sunday night to the tribute for Frankie. We didn't know what to do. We were at a loss. I was hurting. I can't believe he's gone." And at least six different people said, "But when I hugged your wife, I knew God was handling it all." What? Okay, not only was she getting ministered to, it was healing for Cindy, I'm telling y'all. It was healing for her in those hugs of this group of people she didn't know. All she knew is they loved her brother. And she loved her brother. And there was healing for them. And I had the ability, because we experienced that on Sunday, I had the ability to speak to almost 200 people at his funeral about the love of God and about the covenant. And I had a platform to speak in their lives because of all that had transpired. I still marvel that in the Pelican Pub on a Sunday night in St. Augustine, Florida, with rock and roll music blaring and beer flowing freely and cigarettes being smoked everywhere in the building and really don't know what outside of the building, I recognized a few cents. God was in that place. He was there. And when I got up Monday morning and I was praying, I had to ask, "God, what was that?" That just turned me on my ear. Come on, wouldn't it you? Wouldn't you? I mean, sometimes if I was to walk into that kind of place, there's this on and off button in me that I think I need to turn God off so I can be in there. I can't. I can try. I can pretend. But God goes with me everywhere. And guess what? He's there before I get there, no matter how seedy of a place I might think it is. How ungodly of a place I might think it is. That we are being challenged as a church to get out from among our walls and do something for the glory of God, to move forward the kingdom of God, and to carry the presence of God into a lost and dying world. Guess what? God is in the Pelican pubs. He's there. I experienced him. I felt him. I saw him. And this is what he told me when I was praying, God, what was that? And he simply gave me Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is near the brokenhearted. Their hearts were broken. God's promise to them and to us that he is near when your heart is broken. Their hearts were broken, therefore God was near. And in the Beatitudes, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Wow. That's what I got for you today. I wanted to share those two things with you and ask that you think on them this week and see what God has for you as you contemplate my random thoughts. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.